Hey, Solara here, and I'm so happy that you have joined me once again. Today we're diving into the topic of relationships. I'm a great believer that these are the greatest mirrors that we have. This is the part of my life that has really opened up new levels of peace and joy and abundance and safety and stability. And quite frankly, without relationships, I would not be experiencing the level of bliss I have in most areas of my life. So even though they can be very painful and bring us to our knees at times, they are also our biggest activators. They're our greatest teachers. And when we understand how to work with the metaphorical mirror of relationships, this is when we can take our own personal development to whole new levels. Relationships show us ourselves. They show us our deepest wounds. They show us where we are open to love. They show us how much we've grown. They show us how much we still guard our hearts. They invite us to the highest and deepest forms of connection. But they also show us the shadow parts of ourselves that stand in the way of achieving this higher form of connection. They have absolutely incredible ways of bringing things to the surface. The unhealed wounds, the deep buried fears, the patterns that perhaps we saw that we would never repeat, but somehow still are. But here's the thing. They are also our greatest opportunity. They're our greatest opportunity to heal on deeper levels, to love ourselves and the other person more deeply, and to grow into the version of ourselves that can hold real intimacy and experience the depth of love that opens up peace and abundance in every other area of our life. I've discovered that when we stop searching for a feeling of safety in another person and we start to become that safety within ourselves, this is where the biggest shift starts to happen. It starts to happen for ourselves first and foremost, but then also for our relationship. Now, why is safety such an important part of this conversation? Why is it an important part of manifestation and the law of attraction and having a pure, clean energy to become effortlessly magnetic? And I believe if we don't feel safe, many of our actions are self-sabotaging. Many of our actions are designed to stop what we fear from happening and to fiercely protect the vulnerability that we have inside. And feelings of safety are the very foundation required to hold that life that you want to call in, to bring in that confidence and that peace and that stability and that unity within yourself and in your relationships. It's the very foundation to everything, to your self-love, to your health, to your prosperity, to your emotional stability, and of course, living that life full of abundance and enjoying creativity and watching things unfold rather than trying to push and force. And safety isn't just a nice thing to have in a relationship, by the way. I believe that it's the ground, it's the very foundations, like I said, that every single other element of our life not only rests on, but that we build upon. And if we try and build our life on shaky, unstable foundations, we're going to constantly have to be in a state of repair rather than build. And this is why this is such an important conversation for us to be having today. When we feel emotionally safe, when we feel seen, when we feel heard, when we feel supported, when we feel held, that's when our nervous system relaxes, and our nervous system plays such a huge role in our manifestation and what we call into our life. Because when our nervous system is in a state of relaxation, that's when we are more playful, more joyful, more peaceful. We allow things to unfold. We are in a place of curiosity and playfulness. This is where In our relationships, our love can deepen, our communication flows, and our intimacy can actually land with another person in a way that feels good, possibly for the very first time in our life. And I've discovered safety is what allows us to show up as our truest and most authentic selves, because pretty much everything else is driven by fear. Fear of being good enough, fear of being validated, fear of having enough, fear of not having enough. And when we feel safe, we're not the version anymore that is simply performing. We're not the version that is in a state of protecting and defending and problem solving, but we're in the version that is open and receptive to new opportunities. And this is where we can experience a depth of life that is not available to us until we understand what feeling safe in our nervous system is actually like. So from a law of attraction perspective, this is where everything begins to make sense then. Because if we don't feel safe, our energy starts to operate from fear. And I alluded to a moment ago where we then begin to take action because we want to avoid something we fear from happening. We want to avoid pain instead of creating possibility. So think about it. When you're trying to prevent, let's say, feeling rejected or losing something, or you're trying to prevent disappointment, every single move you make, even the most well-intended ones, is going to carry the subtle energetic signature of lack, of fear, of protection, of defense. It's like constantly sending the universe the message, I don't trust that I'm safe. So I'm preparing for what might go wrong. And that means the vibration behind our words, the vibration behind the choices we make, the decisions, the behaviors, it's still coded with fear. And because like energy attracts like energy, we end up manifesting more experiences that reflect that inner state, because life is our mirror, relationships are our mirror. And if we have an inner state of tension or uncertainty or fear, we're going to see more of that mirrored to us, because we don't see life as life is. We see life as through the lens of how we are feeling. And we just end up then creating and attracting more situations that confirm that subconscious story that it's not safe. Life isn't safe. I'm not safe to relax. I'm not safe to enjoy. We stop creating. We start problem solving. We stop expanding and enjoying and playing. We start managing the potential pain. But the moment we start cultivating safety within ourselves, and I mean like genuine, strong, solid feeling of safety, embodied safety, the entire energetic field recalibrates and shifts. And this is where we start to hold life completely differently. We stop operating from that protection and start operating from that stability and presence. We create from love rather than fear. And it's not just us feeling differently as a result and having that feeling of relief and finally being able to relax in life. It's not just our relationships that start to shift and the people we attract in our life starts to shift, but our whole entire life begins to flow and grow completely differently. When your body feels safe, your energy becomes effortlessly magnetic. You become effortlessly magnetic. The things you want and desire come to you with ease and grace. And they're not just fleeting experiences that you have to cling on to, like a white knuckle ride. They're here to stay. And you know they are because you feel it in your system. And from there, you naturally draw in experiences that match that frequency. More peace enters into your life, more joy, more creativity, more abundance, more connection, more love, more playfulness, more fun, more laughter, you name it. Because you're no longer broadcasting a signal of survival. You're broadcasting a signal of trust, stability, and safety. And that's why healing our relationship with safety is one of the most powerful things that we can ever do, not just to experience more love, but for every single area of our life, for our well-being, for our peace, for our inner sanctuary. And through the relationship coaching that I do, many couples come to me saying the same thing, like, we really love each other, but somehow it just doesn't feel like it's working. They might feel stuck in repeating patterns that leave them feeling disconnected, empty, unseen, mistrusting, frustrated. And no matter how hard they try to fix, they feel like they're hitting the head against a brick wall and nothing seems to shift for them. And even though these couples come to me in the state that they feel it's the end, it's actually the beginning of something really new and beautiful. It's an initiation into a whole new paradigm. And over the years of my own personal journey and the last year or so specifically of working with couples, I've noticed something really powerful, that when we begin to understand what's really happening underneath the arguments, underneath the silences, underneath the shutdowns, everything starts to change. Not just their relationship, but their whole life starts to open up to new possibility. And I've noticed that there's a deeper sense of calmness, there's more groundedness, feelings of feeling more alive, more inspired by life, and new opportunities begin to flow as a result of it. So relationships are our greatest initiation, but the relationships we have with other people are also reflective of the relationship that we have with ourselves. And we know we hear that saying, oh, you can't love yourself and you can't love someone else until you've learned to love yourself. You know, we know that one. And it may kind of feel like an eye-rolling kind of statement, but it's really true, because we can only ever meet someone in relationship the level that we've learned to meet ourselves. And when the foundation of a relationship with ourselves and with somebody that we deeply love becomes emotionally safe, it changes the whole entire energetic frequency of your whole life. And yes, you do move out of survival mode. You know, that place where your energy is just constantly trying to prevent pain. It's like that awful feeling of just being in a rocking chair and not actually moving forward. But it's like stepping out of the rocking chair and into a whole new mode of creation, where your energy is free to create, attract love on deeper levels. And with that comes abundance, and with that comes feelings of peace and joy. And that's why this work matters so much. This deeper dive, this being willing to look beneath the surface, this shadow work. Is it easy? No. It's super confrontational. But there's something inside of us that knows that there's no other way. We've tried everything else. And now the only way out is going in. So it's not about learning to communicate better so that you argue less, but it is about learning to feel safe within yourself, within your connection, so that you can expand in all these other areas of your life. So this is what I've noticed, how it often plays out in relationships. A lot of it is emotional safety. And many of us have had quite challenging experiences growing up where we don't feel emotionally safe. We feel mistrusting. We weren't heard. We weren't supported. We were dismissed emotionally, gaslit maybe, even stonewalled. And we grew up in these kind of environments. And this isn't to blame the environment that we grew up in, because everyone's doing the best they can with the information that they have. But you're here because you're different. You're here because you want to change it. You're ready to change it. You're not willing to settle for anything less. You know that there's something more. And the only way that you can get to that is by asking, how can I make my relationship the best relationship of my life? How good can this get? So it often shows in emotions in relationships, and it can sometimes look like this, where you're in a relationship and you're feeling upset or hurt by something. So you express how you feel. And then immediately the other person, instead of hearing, they get defensive, or they might start justifying their actions, or they might even try and talk you out of your feelings. Now, remember, this isn't about them being bad, right? So I don't want this to be blame and pointing fingers. It's not about that. They haven't met themselves on the level that you want them to meet you yet. And that's important to remember too, to have grace in these kind of situations. But as a result, you naturally are going to feel unheard. You're naturally going to feel hurt. So you might find yourself even trying harder to explain and getting more frustrated, which can end up making them feel more attacked. And then they're going to then defend even more and protect even more. And of course, this is just a cycle. It's perpetual. Before you know it, you're in an extremely exhausting loop. And this cycle is what happens when two nervous systems, they are both holding unhealed wounds, and they're both trying to communicate their pain through pain. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just that both of you are protecting old parts of yourself that are still hurting, that are still wounded. And you might be trying to make sense of everything whilst the other is craving silence and space. So you might unintentionally be overstepping a boundary when the person asks for silence and asks for space. But because that's a trigger for you, you try to talk more. And this becomes even more consuming for the other person. And again, we find ourselves in a loop. And it's important to emphasize here that neither is wrong. I have a bit of an adverse reaction when I hear people saying, oh, they're narcissistic or this or that. Yeah, I do believe that there is definitely that. But I believe that we're all wounded. And if we're showing up for a journey like this, it's because we want to learn. It's because we want to understand our patterns and how disruptive they are to ourselves and how much they sabotage our relationships. And when you've got two people ready and willing to show up in that kind of container, this is love. This is powerful. And this is where the true feeling of safety can be birthed, when we're no longer pointing a finger anymore. Because what's really happening is there's just two inner children. They're trying to love each other. They're trying to get their needs met, but this is through their pain. Each one of them is unconsciously reacting to old memories that in current time, they don't even know is happening. These feelings are familiar. These feelings are painful. They may have happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. And that's what they are reacting to the old fears, the old patterns, and wondering why it's affecting the present moment so badly. Now, that's not to say that we don't have responsibility in our present moment. Of course we do. What's important here is to understand that there is ownership on both sides. So let's just say that there's a fight that breaks out about the dishes or the text message or the tone of voice. They're not really misaligning or fighting about that. What they're really arguing about or fighting about is what those things represent deep inside their emotional history. I'm working with a really beautiful couple I'm super fond of. And their relationship was taken to a whole new level, and it was via a chocolate bar, because they fell out over one of their children eating the chocolate bar. And it wasn't really about the chocolate bar. It was the feeling of having to make excuses for the child and defend the child why it did that. And the other partner was left feeling unheard. Now, it would seem relatively simple. This is about a chocolate bar, but it wasn't. It was about the way the situation left both parties feeling. One took on the blame that it was all of her fault that her child was like this and overstepping boundaries, and there must be something wrong with me, and started going into self-deprecation. And the other party was there, well, look, I just wouldn't mind just feeling supported here. Like, my chocolate bar's just been eaten. Like, can you not just meet me there? So it was something that by the end of the session, we actually ended up having a real lighthearted giggle about, because who would ever know that a relationship would go to such deep places of healing through the door of a chocolate bar conversation. So even though these moments, they can be incredibly painful, there's actually a lot in them that can reveal a lot about our wounds and how we feel about ourselves and our limiting beliefs and how we feel so unheard and unsupported in these moments. So that's what I mean. It's not about the chocolate bar. It's not about the dishes or the text message. It's what it represents. So if we're triggered by something, it's because there's unmet needs, there's hurts and there's pains that haven't been seen or healed yet. And until we become aware of these and the younger parts of ourselves, the ones who fear not being good enough, fear being rejected, who fear being unseen, we just keep replaying the same emotional movie. We expect a different ending, so it can be so frustrating. But if we keep playing the same movie, expecting a different ending, and we're not getting it, it's because there's deeper ownership within ourselves and healing that needs to take place in order to get to that new level. So healing starts to happen when we begin to recognize this, when we or both of us choose to pause, to breathe, and to take a moment to recognize what's really going on. So this isn't really about the chocolate bar or not replying fast enough. It's more about our inner child feeling so unworthy, so unseen, so not good enough, so rejected. And when we understand that and we're able to connect with that, that moment of awareness is what starts to break that loop, because we can then meet the present moment for what it is instead of being triggered and brought back into the loop of the pain from the past. It does take work, and yes, it does take healing. And quite often when I'm working with couples in these kind of sessions, not only do we recognize where the hurt started, but we can give tools in real time to recognize and start to course correct and start to change direction, so that we no longer have to take our relationship through the painful loops of our past. We can rewrite them. We can recreate them. There's also another way that it shows out, which can be a little bit harder to spot in relationships, when, you know, things might look a bit calmer on the surface. So instead of like shouting and screaming and trying to get our needs met, feeling like we're repeating ourselves and hitting our head against a brick wall, this is where things maybe aren't expressed at all. Maybe we've tried, either when we were younger in our current relationship, and it never gets heard. So we shut down, we suppress, we stay quiet. We might stay quiet to keep the peace or convince ourselves that everything's fine, which is another coping mechanism when it isn't fine. And everything then just goes internalized rather than getting resolved. So I see couples where they smile and they go along with things, but inside they're growing a sense of resentment and disconnection and shutdown. And this is where intimacy starts to then get affected on deeper levels too, which creates another problem all on its own. So in other words, these problems start to leak out sideways. It could be irritability, snide remarks, withdrawal. It could be criticism, because what isn't communicated still finds a way to be felt. It has to come out. It may just come out in another way, but it's still coming out. We think we're suppressing and hiding it, but we're not really. And when those needs stay unspoken, the other person is just left guessing. And then they're often getting it wrong because they're just feeling around in the dark. They're desperately trying to fix it, but they're feeling around in the dark because they don't really know what the problem is. And then that just creates more separation and a sense of frustration and misunderstanding. And again, we just go around in this loop. And what I've discovered is, no matter how intuitive we are or how connected someone is, they simply can't meet needs that have not been voiced. And there is a skill in voicing them. And in the beginning, it's a bit clunky and it creates more falling out and feeling even more unheard. But at least there's some form of communication which starts it off. So unmet expectations, they become like invisible contracts. It's almost like a bit of an invisible electric fence where we hold the other person accountable for something without even letting them know what that is, or even inviting them into the agreement. And that's something that I think is really important to make note of. So real connection, it requires honesty. It requires authenticity, not performance, and not just pretending to be okay, but the courage to say, this is what I'm feeling and this is what I need from you, even when that feels uncomfortable. And that can feel really confrontational if you're not used to doing this, and it can take a bit of practice. Because when communication stops, or if it wasn't even there in the first place, you're on your road to even more disconnection. So when we find the courage to speak our truth with love instead of fear, even though it's going to be a bit scary to start with, then we stop waiting to be rescued. We save the other person a lot of time because they're no longer having to kind of feel around in the dark and guess what's wrong with us. And that's when we can start co-creating the safety that we've always been craving. And this is where the transformation begins. And taking responsibility doesn't mean to say it's all my fault, I'm to blame. No. Yes, you both have a part, but it's important to ask, what is mine to own here? What are my childhood wounds? What are my opportunities for my own growth? What is it that I need to heal so I can show up differently in this relationship? Am I expecting my partner to give something that they don't have yet? And instead of criticizing and poking them that they don't have that, maybe that's because you're meant to look within for that thing. Maybe that's where you need to hold the mirror up. Why can't this person hear me or see me? It's so frustrating. Where am I not hearing and seeing myself? Where am I not hearing and seeing them, maybe? Am I asking them to meet me somewhere that I haven't fully met myself yet? Am I abandoning my boundaries and then blaming them for crossing them? Have I got a silent electric fence here that I'm not communicating? And I think these are super, super important. I'm going to pop these journal prompts in the show notes, actually, because it might be something that you want to ponder over. And that's important. What is mine to own here? It's not always easy. Like sometimes I feel myself in so much in victim mode. It takes me a few days. But if I ask that question, the answer definitely comes because I'm open. I want to grow. I want to put my energy into this relationship as much as I would like the other person to put their energy in. I want them to take responsibility, which means I need to as well. I want them to deepen their connection with safety within themselves. So that I can feel safer, but I have to do the same too. You cannot be met where you have not met yourself, and they cannot meet you somewhere where they haven't yet gone. And when both people start doing that inner work, not to fix each other, but to bring wholeness to themselves and then wholeness to the connection, the entire energy of the relationship begins to heal. And when that one person starts taking ownership of their energy, the whole dynamic shifts. Remember, relationships are collective containers. They hold both people's energy. If even one person starts to show up differently, calmer, clearer, more regulated, the field between them transforms. So the energy field, the emotional field, the nervous system field starts to transform. This doesn't mean doing the other person's healing for them. Of course it doesn't. You can't. You can care, but you can't carry them. They can care for you, but they can't carry you. That's on you as it is on them. It means creating a safer energetic space through your own alignment. And that's what I call energetic leadership in love. Because when one person chooses responsibility over blame, compassion over control, and grace over, I don't know, their own glory and someone else's pain, relationships start to mirror that energy back. And this is how we heal the we by healing the me. So you can ask yourself certain things like, where in my relationship do I still tolerate unsafe energy out of love or habit? Like, where have I not got healthy boundaries? And instead of blaming them for overstepping the boundary, you've got to communicate that boundary. It's the electric fence situation. And then start to ponder, like, what does safety feel like in my body? Like, what does it actually feel like? And how can I create more of that every single day? And sometimes when somebody is trying to put their healing onto you, when they're trying to make you responsible for their healing, you can lovingly just close the emotional door when needed, not to shut down and not to shut someone out, but to protect and hold your peace while they're figuring it out. Remember, it's your job to care, but it's not your job to carry. And with that in mind, I want to remind you that relationships are some of the most powerful spiritual teachers that we will ever have, ever. They reveal where we collapse, where we protect, where we still struggle to receive, where we're still in victim mode, where we haven't taken ownership or responsibility. They also show us where we're capable of the deepest love ever. And when both people stop waiting for the other to change and start taking that responsibility that I keep speaking of for their own healing, that's when the relationship itself becomes the healing medicine. And when one person shifts from fear to love, from blame to ownership, the whole container heals. But remember, this is a long journey. This isn't something that's going to happen overnight. And you cannot fix everything today. But you just have to start with the parts that you see are yours. And if you're struggling to figure that out, reach out. I could happily do a one-off one-to-one, or if you want to sign up for a container for yourself or for yourself and your partner, reach out to me, slara@slarastar.com. I'd love to have an initial consultation to see how I can help. I work mainly over Zoom, pretty much anywhere in the world. So reach out. I would love to help where I can. And if today's episode has landed, I would love to hear your reflections, but I would also ask if you could leave a review, if you can like it, if you can share it on your social media. Let's get this information to as many people as possible. Because I believe that we have the ability to live a stable, peaceful, grounded, joyful, spaciousness existence. And it's available to all of us. So remember, when you shift your energy, you, my friend, are going to shift your life. Thank you for joining me today. It's been an absolute joy, and I really look forward to being back with you the same time next week. Thank you. Take care. Bye for now.